Open your Bible with me to chapter 21 of the book of Exodus. If you're not familiar with the Bible, it's the second book of the Old Testament. Go way to the left side and index Genesis and Exodus. Chapter 21. Before we start the study, we are going to show you a few pictures. Willie Davis, some of you guys know him. He went to the Kuwait as a part of the Air Force soldier. We sent the 5 packages of care package, a lot of, you know, junk food, the things guys like. Now, he sent the pictures here. Can you stop right there? Can you tell, if it's a woman, they will go like this, put some hair in, smile. This is a guy thing. We don't smile. We go after food. All right. Checking out, make sure it's the food that they like. All right. Thank you for the participating in the care package, making a care package for the Willie Davis. I'm sure he appreciated it. All right, let's start the study. Each year, thanks to our lawmakers in town, city, state, and federal, thousands of laws, literally thousands of laws, become in effect after their sessions. There are some good laws. There are some dumb laws and some old laws that are still in effect, but we no longer need it. For example, I found this from the internet. I found it from the internet would be camel. Hunting camel in Arizona is prohibited. Many decades ago, U.S. Army decided they're going to try the camel in, you know, Arizona desert. It sounds logical, right? So they tried this camel, but it didn't work well, so they let them go. The law is still in effect, so if you are on a hunting trip, please don't shoot a camel, okay? Of course, then that's not the only thing we find. Other kinds of laws, and especially in our neighbor state, the California, land of fruits and nuts and fruitcakes. I found the 3 of them. I know some of you guys from the California. I have no offense to you, but it is truly land of nuts and fruitcakes. The first one is it is a misdemeanor to shoot at any kinds of game from the moving vehicle except one less target is a whale. So while you're driving on the Pacific Highway, if you see chamois, you can shoot. And the woman may not drive in house coat. Ladies, if you go to California, please do not wear the house coat with the pink hair roller and the slippers while you drive, okay? Another law they have is that no vehicle without the driver may exceed 60 miles per hour. Guys, do not give a key to the car. And he might drive it by itself for over 60 miles per hour. However, God's law is complete and perfect without flaw. God's law is good all the time. Yes, some of those items that do not affect us because our social systems and the customs are changed. However, the spirit of the law is still good, practical, and good for us. We are going to highlight a few portions of chapter 21 and chapter 22. We are not going to go visit verse by verse all of them because it's lengthy. But we are going to learn very practical things, such as a law concerning the servant, law concerning the violence and animal control, property, and morality. I believe that God's going to speak to our heart. We start at the verse 1, and we will start with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word we are about to receive. We are asking your anointing to be upon the word and the one who speak, and please forgive the ones who speak and his sins, because his sins are many. And we are asking you to open our heart to comprehend what you intend in these laws. Let our heart become a reflection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we pray for our troops around the world. We are asking you to touch their lives and keep them safe and bring them back safe and sound. And we also pray for the local law enforcement and firefighters, that they may be also protected by you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1. Now these are, chapter 21, verse 1. Now these are the judgment which you shall set before them. If you buy a Hebrew servant, he shall serve 6 years. In the seventh, he shall go out free and pay nothing. If he comes in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he comes in married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master has given him a wife, she has borne him sons and daughters. The wife and her children shall be her masters, and he shall go out by himself. But if the servant plainly says, I love my master, my wife, my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him to the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or to the doorpost, and his master shall pierce his ear with the awl, and he shall serve him forever. Though the Jews are not permitted to have their own Jewish people as a slave, but they are permitted to have other nations, especially the prisoners of war, as slaves. Do we still have slaves? I hope not. We no longer have a slave. But unless you become a servant of somebody else, in goodness of your heart, that's another thing. God reminded the Israeli people that once they were also slaves in Egypt. So reminding them to treat the slaves well. There's a fourth basic reason for the Hebrew person to become a slave of another Hebrew person. Number one is when the person is extremely poor and that person sells his liberty to somebody else, become a servant. Second is when the father sells their children to somebody else. That you will find it from the verse 7, that when the father sells a daughter to somebody else as a concubine or the mistress or whatever the situation is, that's the case, she becomes a slave. In case of bankruptcy, man might become a servant to the creditor, or the thief got caught in the middle of the acting, thief, robbery, and he got caught and he doesn't have money to pay this person back, then he can be the slave of the one who he tried to steal from. Hebrew servant worked for 6 years. On the seventh year, they have to be freed. That's God's idea of the Sabbath. Now, but if the 6 years after servitude, servant have a build up the relationship with the master, and he choose to stay with the master, and not only that, he become build up the family in that house, he can say, Master, I'd rather give up my freedom for the sake of serving you. Then he become a special person, become a bond servant. This bond servant, they will have a ceremony. Of course, the master will take this person, the slave, to the judge and declare that he is no longer just slave, but bond servant. And the master will take the slave to the doorpost and using awl or sharp object, pierce the ears. Some of you guys have that one of those. That doesn't mean you guys are slave, right, bond servant? The ceremony requires witness. Folks, this is a beautiful picture of Jesus Christ. God lay aside his deity, glory, and he took the form of humanity and came down to earth to become a servant of Father in heaven. And he completed his work all the way to the cross. He could say, I don't have to put up with this, I'm out. After his duty, he could just go back to heaven. But he chose to stay and chose to become a servant forever. That is a bond servant. And also we find in the New Testament, Apostle Paul called himself bond servant of Jesus Christ. Apostle Peter called himself a bond servant of Jesus Christ. James, studying as a bond servant of Jesus Christ. Jude, another one who declared himself as bondservant of Jesus Christ. In Greek, bondservant is a doulos, D-U-R-O-S, doulos. That means this person is no longer serving master because of the duty, but he's serving the master because of love he has. So that is what we're supposed to be. And let's go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 7, please. Philippians chapter 7. Philippians located right before Colossians, right after Ephesians in the New Testament. Chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. But made himself no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, that is Jesus Christ, and coming in the likeness of man, being found in appearance of as a man, he humbled himself, become obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. This thing has been prophesied many years ago. We find it in Psalm chapter 40, please. Psalm 40. Book of Psalms is located right between the book of Job and Proverbs. Psalm 40, verse 6. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, my ears you have opened. When the Greek Hebrew word of pierce is the same word as opened. So this is the reason why the psalmist used the word opened here. Burnt offering and a sin offering you did not desire, but I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is written in my heart. We should consider it is our extreme privilege to be the bondservant of Jesus Christ. We were slaves of Satan before we become a free man in Christ Jesus. However, when we are set free by the salvation of Jesus Christ, we voluntarily declare that we are the bondservant of Jesus Christ. Now, if you become a born-again Christian, you need to serve. You need to serve in the body of Jesus Christ. Some of you guys come and go without serving anyone. Please, take a hint from Jesus Christ, who is a servant king. He declared that he did not come to be served, but he came to serve. You are not involved in the body of Jesus Christ in the work of God. Please, get involved. You are the one who's going to get blessing more than anyone else, as the Pastor Jack said during the announcement time. I guarantee you, you will be blessed. Verse 12 in chapter 21 in Exodus. Now we're going to talk about law concerning the violence. He who strikes a man so that he dies shall surely be put to death. However, if he did not lie in wait, but God delivered him into his hand, then I will appoint for you a place where he may flee. But if a man act with a premeditation against his neighbor to kill him by treachery, you shall take him from my altar that he may die. What does it mean to take him from my altar? Some people, you will find in 1 Kings, one of the king David's sons got hold of a horn of the altar, and he thought that he found the sanctuary where he can hide from the avengers. But God says, for the premeditated murder, take him away from my altar. God makes a distinction between premeditated murder and manslaughter. The reason why he make a big deal out of this thing is this particular law coincides with Sixth Commandment, you shall not kill. See, we are made in God's image, so to the murder of a fellow man being an attack of the image of God. God takes it seriously. Again, it takes a two or three witness, two or more witness to person to be executed. As I said before, the law makes a clear distinction between the manslaughter and the premeditated murder. Once Israel was in the land, God declared, made them to make six cities where this manslayer can flee to until the investigation is done and that person is either found guilty or innocent or not guilty. Then that person can either go out or get executed. For the premeditated murder, that's a different story. God said, had them no mercy on them. In other words, God pretty much said, book them all, murder one. Some of you guys know that word, right? If you know that word, that means you're old as me. Justice is a practical outworking of the righteousness of God in human history. Because the Lord loves righteousness and justice. Don't think that God is the God of love, so whatever the sin I commit can be winked at. Yes, God is God of love. Don't forget, God is God of justice, God is God of righteousness and holiness. God will not wink at our sins. Let's go down to verse 26 of chapter 21. If a man strike the eye of his male or female servant and destroy it, you shall let him go free for the sake of his eyes. But if he knocks out of the tooth of his male or female servant, you shall let him go free for the sake of his tooth. Let's go down a little further down. Verse 26. Okay. Oh, let's go up a couple of verses. Verse 23. But if harm follow, then you shall give a life for life, eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, and hands for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, and wound for wound, stripe for stripe. It is our tendency to outdo what the other offending person did to us. If you think I'm joking about it, no. How about this? A lawsuit. How about the punitive damage? Remember this, God bless you. Remember the situation at the McDonald's? This lady spilled hot coffee on herself, and she sued the McDonald's. How much did she get? Millions of dollars. What kind of punitive damage? Is this, okay, she spilled hot coffee on herself. When she picked up the hot coffee, didn't she not know that it was hot coffee? What is she, dinghy? Obviously, she's a dinghy, obviously. This is the kinds of social setting we have. Suing one another with the punitive damage. What God is saying is do not go after the reward or penalty more than what that person did to you, severity and seriousness. So God is telling the people that the laws made sure the punishment sentenced by judge was equal to the seriousness and severity of the crime, not more, not less. If you get hurt, the other person had to be taking care of that kind of the injury. However, don't ask for more. Nowadays, people's greed kicks in and they go after each other's. Of course, the ambulance chase of lawyers doesn't help any. Jesus teaches us not to pay back evil for evil, but rather pay back evil with the good. God is our defense for personal insult. I'm not talking about personal defense. When it comes to personal defense, the Bible does not go against it. Let's go to Romans chapter 12, verse 17. Romans 12, 17. And some of you guys sitting there without turning Bible. You know what? You are the one who is missing out if you are not turning the Bible. The Word of God is good. It's good for us. Go after it. Repay no one evil for evil, have regard for the good things in the sight of all men. If it's possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. If it's possible, it depends on you. So if you can just say, oh, forget it. If you're willing to give up the legal right to sue that person because you don't want to pay back evil for evil, by all means. Now, do you remember the Pope made a comment regarding the Islam, the Prophet Muhammad? This is the quote I get. Some of you guys know, heard this a couple weeks ago. Prophet Muhammad, as evil and inhuman, particularly his command to spread by the sword the faith. In other words, he pretty much declared the religion of Islam is a very violent religion. You know what the Muslim committee did? The entire committee uproared, and so they decided they're going to burn all the Catholic churches. I guess they are not violent religious people, huh? Verse 28 of chapter 21. If an ox goes a man and woman to death, then ox shall surely be stoned. Its flesh shall not be eaten, but an owner of the ox shall be acquitted. But if ox tend to thrust its horns in times past, it has been made known to its owner, and he has not kept it confined, so that it has killed a man or a woman, the ox shall be stoned, and the owner, its owner, shall also be put to death. If there is imposed on him a sum of money, then he shall pay to redeem his life, whatever is imposed on him, whether it has gold a son or gold a daughter, according to this judgment, it shall be done to him. If the ox gold a male or female servant, note the next phrase, please. He shall give their master 30 shekels of silver, and their ox shall be stoned. Note the 30 shekels of silver. That's the price of life of slave. Interestingly, the price gold for the slaves is 30 pieces of silver. Zechariah talked about this in his book, prophetically mentioned about this in Zechariah chapter 11, verse 12 and 13. Zechariah chapter 11, please. And you're thinking, where is Zechariah? It's in the Old Testament. I'll give you about 15 minutes to find that book. It's between Haggai and Malachi, the only Italian author of the Old Testament. Some of you are thinking, Italian author? And I'm just joking, okay? Verse 12 of chapter 11 in Zechariah. Then I said to them, if it is agreeable to you, if it's agreeable to you, give me my wage, if not refrain. So they weighed out of my wages 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said to me, throw it to the potter. Another word that we should underline, note it. That the princely price they set on me. Princely price they set on me. So I took the 30 pieces of silver and threw them into the house and the Lord, house of the Lord for the potter. Princely price. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. And what is the price that Judas got paid for a betrayal of Jesus Christ? 30 pieces of silver. He received from the high priest. And then, when he realized he betrayed innocent man, he went back to the high priest and he gave the money back and threw down on the ground and 30 pieces of silver. I betrayed innocent man's blood. And he walked out and he hung himself. High priest, being a Jew, then of course they didn't want to waste perfectly good money. So they bought a land known as Field of Potter with that money. It's been prophesied hundreds of years ago. Some of you are not born-again Christian. Something is holding you back before you become a born-again Christian. What are you being held back? For Judas, it was 30 pieces of silver. He couldn't let go of that greed. He couldn't let go of the selfishness. Probably selfishness is in your heart. I want to control my own life, my eternal life. Folks, if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if you are not born again Christian, let me tell you this. You don't control your eternal life. Your eternal life is damned. By whom? By your own choice. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, your eternal life is doomed. And you will spend the rest of your eternal life in hell. I cannot tell you how easier than this, because there is no other way to tell you. It's simple, black and white. And you may say, well, if I sincerely believe that I'm going to go to heaven, well, you can sincerely believe that there is no gravity. Does it work? Get on the C-130, see what happened. Jump out from airplane, 30,000 feet above ground. You sincerely believe that there is no gravity. You will realize gravity won the battle. Sincere belief doesn't mean a thing. What is it holding you back? Pride? Or somebody might think about you as a fanatic? So what? Your eternal life is more important than anything else. Don't forsake your eternal life for the sake of something else, like a 30 piece of silver, or pride, or selfishness. Verse 18 of chapter 22 in Exodus. This time we're talking about morality. Chapter 22 of 18. You shall not permit the sorceress to live. Whoever lies with the animal shall surely be put to death. You know, there's some portion I don't mind reading. I love to read from the Bible. There's some portion I just don't care to read. This is one of them. He who sacrifices to any god except to the Lord only, he shall be utterly destroyed. You shall neither mistreat a stranger nor oppress him, for you were stranger in the land of Egypt. You shall not afflict any widow or the fatherless child. If you afflict them in any way, they cry at all to me, and I will surely hear their cry, and my wrath will become a heart, and I will kill you with a sword. Your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. Practice of sorcery is almost always associated with medicinal cult art. In other words, they tend to use using illegal drugs and with magic things. Folks, let's put it in our term. Nowadays, this would be the same thing as playing with a sorcery. Horoscope, Ouija board. Some of young people play with a Ouija board. Stop, please. You don't know what you're dabbling into. Ouija board, getting into Dungeon and Dragon games, voodoo, the black magic, or white magic that is, whatever, witchcraft, Wicca, palm reading, fortune telling, channeling, transcendental meditation, and Satan worship. If I may add one more, contacting the dead spirit. That's known as channeling. Somehow, this has been well known because of movies, TV series known as a medium. Folks, don't even go there. Mom and Dad, make sure you know what your children is playing with. If your children are playing with a Ouija board or the Dungeon and Dragon game, stop them. It's a literally devil's game. I don't care what you say. You don't know the fact about the Ouija board and Dungeons and Dragons game. It sounds fancy. It's a fantasy thing. But in deep down, it's a devil's territory. Also, Mom and Dad, if you're playing with, you read the horoscope in the newspaper, or you call somebody and 1-900 who is speaking in the Tahiti accent, and they tell you all these things. If you want to know the truth or you want to know the future of yourself, what's ahead of you, get into this book. Get into this book. This will tell you without charging you anything. You don't even have to call 1-900. You just say, God, and He's there. You can depend on this truth. If, as I said this before, I just have to say it one more time. Probably I will repeat this many more times. If they really know the future, why don't they just pick the Powerball number? And so they don't have to walk behind this phone line. Huh? If they really know the future, why don't they do that? They have no idea what's ahead of them. Bestiality prohibited by God is a damnable perversion. Gift of sex, folks, gift of sex is designated for a husband and a wife. No one else and nothing else. Not before the marriage, not outside of marriage. Designated for husband and wife only. You may say, well, we love each other, we're going to get married. That doesn't count. If you're not married, you're not married. I had a friend, they were divorced, and they decided they're going to get married again. So they start to live together. I tell them, you guys are not married. You guys are strangers. You are no longer husband and wife. Well, I don't care what the law says. Well, hello, what does the Bible say? Obey the law of the land. It doesn't matter how close you are. With you might be, it might be a week before you get married. Fornication is a fornication. It is a sin against God's word. Verse 25. And some of you are thinking, aren't you a little hothead? Well, no, not really. I just declared what the Bible says. You want to call the God a hothead? By all means, go for it. If you lend your money, if you lend money to any of my people who are poor among you, you shall not be like a moneylender to him. You shall not charge him interest. If you ever take your neighbor's garment as a pledge, you shall return it to him before the sun goes down, for there that is his only garment. It is his garment for his skin. What will he sleep in? It will be that when he cries out, when he cries to me, I will hear, and I will be, and I am, for I am gracious. He shall not revile, you shall not revile God, nor curse a ruler of your people. You shall not delay to offer a first of your ripe produce and your juices. Firstborn of your son you shall give to me. Likewise you shall do your oxen and your sheep. It shall be with its mother 7 days, and on the eighth day you shall give it to me. And you shall be the holy man to me. You shall not eat the meat torn by the beast in the field, and you shall throw it to the dogs. That means no more roadkill for guys. Rich must not exploit other poor people, but give them help when they need it. God hears the cries of afflict. Proverbs 28:8, please. Proverbs 28:8. Proverbs is right after the book of Psalm. One who increases his possession by usury and extortion gathers it for him who will pity the poor. If you have money and if you are willing to loan it to somebody, again, the proverb says, give it to him if you can. If not, give it, loan it to him without interest. If you can do it that way. But if you have to charge the interest, don't overcharge it. Don't be like a credit card company. Blaspheming God is capital offense. God is so merciful that he doesn't strike us to death each time we blaspheme God. Remember, there's a three-way to blaspheme God. Let me repeat it one more time. Sometimes it can be using God's name in vain, using his name as a cuss word. Number two, using his name in a flavorability way, in a careless way. Yeah, I swear to God and you promise something and you don't fulfill. And sometimes we become a hypocrite. Pretend to be a godly man and don't act like a godly man. That's blaspheming God's name. Because non-believers will blaspheme God because of our hypocrite action. God establishes human government, and even if we don't respect the officer, we have to respect the office. We are called to be holy men, not to follow the world, but follow God. As I said before, any dead fish can float down the stream, but it takes a determined fish to go against the stream. Folks, we are living in the stream that is going down. God bless you. But we need to live against the flow of this world to please God. Let's make application. Number one, when we serve our God, we must do it because we love him, not because it's our duty. When you serve him, serve him with your heart because you love him. Number two, our God's law is perfect and helpful for our spiritual and physical aspect. Let's go to Psalm 19:7. Psalm 19:7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, and the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. While we're in Psalm 119, let's go 119, verse 1. The longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119, verse 1. Bless the undefiled in the way that who walks in the law of the Lord. You obey him, you please him, he will bless you more than you can imagine. Third application, we should consider it is our extreme privilege to be the bondservant of Jesus Christ. You are selected by God. Isn't that special? Let's stand up and pray.